for a minute. Once in a while something, now this is not like the end of the battle or anything, but once in a while you hear something good come out of it. The Saskatchewan Court of Appeals on April 13th actually overturned a ruling that had classified references to Bible verses on homosexuality as hate crime. So they actually overturned that. The ruling overturns a 2001 decision by the Provincial Human Rights Board of Inquiry, which found Hugh Owens of Regina guilty of inciting hatred after he published an ad in the Saskatchewan Star Phoenix that cited Romans 1, Leviticus 18 and 20, and 1 Corinthians 6. The ad featured a stick drawing of two males holding hands with a red circle and a diagonal bar. Two stick figures holding hands. Yeah, exactly. The Human Rights Commission ruled that Owens and the newspaper must pay $1,500 damage to each of three homos. The Court of Queen's Bench upheld the ruling in 2002, but it's now been overturned by the province's highest court. So it's not the end of the battle. It's just one minor counterblow back. So the other thing that's interesting here is, according to a new Barna poll, 45% of American adults are born again. We must live in a particularly low percentage area. Surveys further evidence that small polling samples can produce terribly wrong results. To say that 45% of American adults, even in the heart of the Bible Belt, are born again is nothing less than ridiculous. There's that. There's also the point that now, once again, you've seen the confiscation, the commandeering of the language, so that now born again means any dozen different things. Doesn't mean what the Bible says. All right, Romans 13. Romans chapter 13. We started this a little bit and didn't get a chance to talk an awful lot about it, but going into it, Romans 13:1. Romans 13:1. All right, Father, we come back to your book this morning, Lord. The Scripture says that in Jesus Christ are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. We know that Jesus Christ was the incarnate Word, and we know that you inspired and preserved this Word for us, Lord. So we know this book is something special. And we also know that we can't understand it without you. We pray that you'd help us to ever be willing to allow our darkness to be lightened by the light of the Word of God and be washed in the water of the Word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Romans 13:1. In some regards, this is a hard chapter to take. It's a hard chapter to take because, you know, we live in a free society here, and a relatively free society, free press and all those things. And so we have access to information a lot of times about our own government and so on that, you know, did not used to be the case in Soviet Russia, USSR, and all those things. And we know of certain abuses. We know of things that aren't right and all that. However, I would, you know, before you get ready to jettison the passage on that regard, don't forget the day in which the guy lived that was writing this passage. Okay? The guy that wrote this passage was killed by the powers that be, okay? And his Savior was killed by the powers that be, and all of his apostolic and friends, for the most part, and most of the disciples that he knew were killed by the powers that be. So, you know, you can't just decide, well, you know, the government raised my taxes, that's the last straw. You can't do that. So, anyway, Romans 13:1. Let every soul, if there's any doubt about it being an issue for every man, woman, and child. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained to God. Now you open up there, and the first thing that pops into everybody's mind is what about? Those whatabouts are dealt with plainly in the Bible, okay? The issue is that you do what the powers that be say insofar as you can until they command you to do something against the Scripture. Really, That's just about it. I mean, when the king commanded the men of Ezra's day to cease building, They did cease building for a time, and then a prophet stood up and said, "Thus saith the Lord, you better start building again." And they started building again before word came from the government that they could. Okay, that's an issue there in regard to where God definitively commanded them to do something that the government said they should not do. The government said that the Hebrews should bow before Nebuchadnezzar's image. Okay, and most everybody did but three guys, and they didn't. And God rewarded them, okay, because you're not supposed to bow down to any graven image. So these things should be pretty plainly laid out. There are plenty of places in the Scripture where somebody went against what the government said. As far as preaching and hate speech and you know, all that kind of stuff, look in Acts chapter 4 real quick. And this is going to be an issue, you know, we're going to run up against before this is goes much further. The reason I say that is because, you know, we just read this issue in the Saskatchewan court. Well, like I said, I don't know, I guess Canada precedes us usually in their liberalism and socialistic agenda. You know, I don't know what, anywhere from 10 to 20 years before us. And there's enough noise being made now, you see where this thing's going. And so we're going to face that most likely. And, you know, so again, you have to have this nailed down pretty solidly, pretty heavily in your mind. Acts chapter 4. Did we go through this last time? Well, it's Acts 4. Acts 4. Did we go through this last time? All right. Acts 4:17. "But that it spread no further." Now, this is the elders saying what they're going to do here. "Among the people, let us straitly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name." They didn't know anything else to do of these folks at this particular point. "And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye, for we cannot but speak the things which ye have seen and heard." Okay? So, you know, there comes a point where, you know, this hate speech stuff, there's going to be folks in prison for hate speech. There's going to be folks put in jail eventually for saying what they said. And that's all going to be preceded by getting involved in the judicial system in our country, which is going to take years to play out, probably by the time it's all over with. I mean, something is, you know, a relatively simple thing it now takes somebody, you know, 2 or 3 years to just get through the judicial system. Well, now if, you know, with something like this comes up and there's lawyers, then there's money. So it's going to wind up costing a lot of money and a lot of time and a lot of effort and a lot of painstaking, you know, but that's the way it's going to be. So you might as well brace yourself for it, all right? Look in Acts 5 real quick while we're nearby. Acts chapter 5, this is where we're headed. Acts 5, 29. Acts 5, 29. Notice, that's not what I wanted. Well, go ahead and read it for you anyway, okay? "And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word." That's these guys praying after they've been told they needed to shut up. Okay, so the bottom line is you obey the powers that be as far as you can. Okay? And here's the reason why. And it goes against the grain really bad. Okay? It goes against the grain. Now, remember, there's some things about where you live and grew up and your scenario here that's a lot different than most people have lived under, except in America through many years. Most people do not have an opportunity to grow up in a land where it is constantly harped that you have a right to say and believe anything you want to. Okay? I mean, the foundations of what we are as a country and therefore as a people is the idea that you get to stand up and believe what you want and, for the most part, say what you want. And just so you understand, that is not the kind of scenario, that is not the kind of forum that Paul grew up in. That's not the kind of forum that most of the martyrs grew up in. When you live under a monarchy, usually that's just not the way things are. And so we've been spoiled in that regard, and so some of these things are harder for us to take, maybe, than somebody else that may have been reading the Bible in another time in another place. And it's hard for us to take because we see all the injustices. We see the stuff creeping in, and you know, by the time you realize that some of your money, whether you like it or not, is winding up, you know, financing some queer artist somewhere that's, you know, slopping paint on a wall and doing other disgusting things and calling it art, then you begin to get pretty ticked off and pretty hacked off with things. They can't fix your roads, but they're going to make sure that they can send your kids to school so they can teach them sex education in school. Okay, just fill in the potholes and leave the kids alone. Yeah, I know. Anyway, 13:2. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Okay, now again, the powers that be are ordained of God. You say, I have a hard time believing that God ordained Clinton. The people in this country voted for Clinton. The people in this country wanted Clinton. Okay? And so God, many times you'll find, folks, God gave Israel what they wanted in the end. You think God won't allow somebody to be elected and then cast his mantle on him for what that mantle's worth as far as the power that be? You think God won't do that in a country that has a right to vote? You say, well, what's Clinton in God's plan? Well, the last days are days of apostasy. The last days gives a former President Clinton an opportunity to do right and an opportunity to do wrong, and then deals with the man and the country accordingly. Okay? The folks said, we lost the right. Don't look now, but I don't know who you put in office that's truly godly. Okay? Now you say, well, we should be under our monarchy. Yeah, like that worked. You know what you have to settle in your mind? You have to settle in your mind that things are never going to be right here until the king comes. I mean, the true proper governmental authority from the scripture is a king. And plainly, the man-king idea, devolves and spirals down into absolute degradation and all those things. So we've gone to, a Republican democracy in America, and that worked and has worked pretty well and still does work comparatively. I mean, would you rather be here or, say, in Jordan? How about Nigeria? We could do that. I mean, you could go live among the king, let the king of the Zulus be your leader. That'll really help you a lot, right? Okay, but the issue is it's never going to be right. Really right until Jesus Christ comes back and becomes king. So you just have to settle. Things are never going to be right here. There's always going to be reasons to complain. There'll be always reasons to disbelieve and disobey the Bible. Now, verse 2. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. God intends for folks to yield to it. If you don't believe it, look at Titus 3. Titus 3, this is admonished over and over. Jesus Christ did not come to justify social revolution. He did it when he walked on earth, and he hasn't since he left. He didn't call God's people to rise up and overthrow in a revolutionary fashion. Titus 3:1. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates. Now, magistrates are sheriffs and deputies and police officers and so on and so forth. They're magistrates. To be ready to every good work. I mean, look, folks, it doesn't hurt you to be pulled over for speeding. It's a pain. You coast through a stop sign, it's a pain. One day, they stop you because your seatbelt's not. I got stopped. We just moved to Oak Grove. And I was going up to St. Francis one day, and me and the boys got pulled over. And you know why he pulled me over? He saw my seatbelt undone, still at the time where they weren't supposed to stop you just because they saw your seatbelt undone, but he saw that my windshield had a nick in it. Evidently, the sun hit it just right, so he stopped me for those reasons. And then on top of it, I was going 7 miles over the speed limit. Nitpicky. What are you going to do? You think I'm going to spend the next 6 weeks going to court and appealing something, a $50 ticket? You know what I'm saying? All right, for those guys aren't a threat to you. Okay, now what scares you is the things that are a threat. And the things that are a threat are the raising of your children, which I know that you're all painfully aware of those things, all right? Queers are a threat. I'll grant you those things. But for the most part, you'll have to admit that this government, aside from taxes, has left you alone. In fact, the truth be known, If you didn't have a TV, a radio, and a newspaper, you wouldn't be nearly as troubled as you are by what the government's doing. See, whether you like it or not, you've succumbed to some of it because you get all worked up because you hear stuff. You know, up in Canada, they're putting people in jail for preaching against homosexuality. Yeah, well, okay, that was now temporarily overturned, and I, and I believe in being informed, but I'm just pointing out, you have never been molested by this government. You've had it pretty good, okay? And the truth of the matter is, you wouldn't be half as worked up as you are if you weren't so tuned in to some things. Now, I'm informed, and I keep up with them, and I even think that you should. I would admonish you at some level to keep at least your finger on the pulse of how things are going. I believe that's fair and right and prudent. But you still wouldn't be nearly as worked up and paranoid as you are, because the government has pretty much left you alone, aside from taxes and laws you don't like. I mean, you want to go as fast as you want to, I know. Right? But two. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. And that damnation proves that there's more kind of damnation in the Bible than going to hell. Again, you get a ticket, that's your damnation. I mean, you're going to go, you go 25 miles over the speed limit, you're going to get a ticket. Do you feel damned? Well, that's your damnation. Okay? Verse 3. For rulers are not a terror to good works. And again, the guy that's writing this, guess who he has for a king? He has a king who's much more a terror to good works in that day than anybody that's been president since you've been alive. Okay? So while we can gripe and argue, and while in technicality I know how this goes, it is still a fact that you have been largely left unmolested. For rulers are not a terror to good works, and for the most part, they're not. The average guy that's going to go live his life, work his job, pay his bills, pay his taxes, and that's commanded here, and is going to raise his family and do the right thing. By the way, you've never yet really been particularly even bothered on the streets of Minneapolis preaching. I mean, you stick your neck way up above just about everybody else in the city, and I'll grant you there have been a couple of brushes. I know that. Don't you expect brushes with the law anyway? But you've still been left, nobody yet in this church has ever gone to jail or been arrested for preaching on the street, passing out tracts. And if you do, the chances are pretty good it's because you're trespassing on private property or won't back down when a policeman gets in your face. You realize you can always back down for a day and go back and deal with it at the police station another day? I mean, that's what I would advise you to do is, I mean, If you wind up in a situation where you get a policeman that oversteps his bounds and gets in your face and gets intimidating and so on, I would suggest you not rooster bump him back. I would suggest you back down and leave the corner. We can go back and talk to his captain another day, okay? But even at that point, see, we haven't been molested. For rulers are not a terror to good works. That's generally true. Most rulers don't want to bother with you. They want your vote. They're going to buy advertisements to sell you to vote for them. But you know what? They're not going to bother you. The average police officer does not really want to pull you over for speeding. I mean, can you imagine being a police officer? Do you know what police officers get to do all the time? They get to deal with domestic disputes. Do you really think a cop wants to come to your house and get between you and your wife? You think they enjoy that? Listen, for the most part, a ruler is not a terror to good works. Yes, I know there's Saddam Hussein who gassed all these people. I know that. I know there was Genghis Khan. I know that. But for the most part, that's not how the average ruler in world history has acted. No, general truths. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. For the most part, that is true. Now, look, I think Clinton was evil. I think he was a wicked dirtbag. I believe that. He still didn't bother me. All of the angst that I have against Clinton have to do with what I heard on the news. Hello, it's true. Okay? So, you know, again, you say, well, if every American was like you, then, you know, nothing would ever get better. Well, it's not getting better anyway. Okay? So So, you know, keep things in perspective. Do you know what you're supposed to be doing? You're supposed to be living for God, serving God, and putting out the gospel. Okay, you're supposed to be raising your family and teaching your kids and being a blessing to the brethren. That's what you're supposed to be doing. Voting along the way, I'm all for it, okay? Once in a while doing some civic duty that's worthwhile, I'm even all for that. I'm not going to curse you if you planted a tree the other day. Somebody asked me what I did for Arbor Day. Hey, I put chemical fertilizer on my lawn. I took care of Mother Earth that I have under my jurisdiction. But do you understand what I'm saying? I mean, I'm not going to go there. Verse 3. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. And, you know, we're going to see a day now, and, you know, when, I tell you what, city councilmen and judges, you know, we don't want to get going on judges, I don't think, because I can't say that either, but some of them are evil. Okay, I'll grant you that. Still, for the most part, you mind your business, and don't do anything stupid or unwise. You're going to be left alone to live your life. That has always been the record. Now, we may yet see a day, right? Paul saw a day. But anyway, verse 3. But rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? I'm afraid of the power. I don't want to go to court. I don't want to do something stupid. And, you know, if I have to go to court, I want to go to court for something that has to do with God, the Bible, Jesus Christ. I don't want to go to court. I don't want to wind up in court for doing something stupid and then having to be, you know, bogged down there, you know, spending every penny I've got trying to take care of that business. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? I mean, you don't really want the SWAT team to show up, do you? I don't. Do that which is good, okay? Don't break the law. You know, I mean, I like guns, but if you get an arsenal of 300 and stuff them in a closet and then stack cases of ammunition, somebody might get suspicious. Do that which is good. And, I mean, what is it? Is there not an issue about temperance? You think it applies to food but not guns? I mean, look, if you store 500 gallons of gas in your garage in little plastic jugs, and a police officer walks up to knock on your door for something, and he sees a guy, you think he's not going to have a fit? He's like, I didn't do anything wrong. Yeah, but it was stupid. And the city's not going to like you. I mean, if you lived 14 feet from a guy that had 500 gallons of gas in his garage, wouldn't you be slightly uneasy? Okay, so it makes a city councilman uneasy, so it makes the law uneasy. Don't be stupid. Verse 3, wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. Okay, you're not going to get a write-up, I'll grant you, but being left alone is a reward of itself. Especially for somebody who's been in jail before, right? Verse 4, for he is the minister of God to thee for good. I bet you if the average police officer heard that, I bet he'd turn white. What do you bet? That he is a minister of God to thee for good. And for the most part, that's true. You know what? If you walk outside and get beat up by somebody, the police officer is going to be on your side. If you get mugged, he's going to be on your side. If you have your car stolen, he's going to be on your side. For he is a minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. Okay, now evil is left very broad here. But if thou do that which is evil, you know, be afraid. Well, look, you know, I know you resent it, but you probably shouldn't try to sneak the hunting knife on an airplane these days. I know that you resent the boundaries, but don't make a bomb joke as you go through. Just, you can't do that. For he is a minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. Okay, now this is one of the passages that acknowledges that the civil authority has a right to capital punishment for a criminal. This is one of the places in the Bible that when the capital punishment issue comes up, folks, capital crime deserves capital punishment. Okay, Paul said, if I have done anything worthy of death, I refuse not to die. Okay, so then to claim that God put away capital punishment is ridiculous. Okay, every government on the face of this earth has a place to put away capital criminals. Okay, now on the other hand, I have no particular trust in our judicial system any longer. Okay, but you know, all things being equal, you know, if Massawi was genuinely involved, he should have been dead a long time ago. I mean, you know, somebody, you know, pulls the things that are pulled. I do not understand. I've never understood the scheduling and the court stuff and all that where, you know, lawyers drag the simplest of things out. You know, I've sat with enough people in courtroom situations where they've waited for 6 months for a hearing, for 3 months for a hearing, and you get into the hearing, and then somebody doesn't have their act together, and nothing at all is accomplished. You waited 4 hours before the judge ready to address the case. The judge does address the case. It's gone in 3 minutes because somebody didn't do something. And then they schedule again for 6 months later on down the road. It's ridiculous. There is no reason whatsoever that with our technology today and so on, you know, all things being equal, the police and detective teams and CSI teams and all that trying to do, you know, the right thing, there is no reason whatsoever that a murder could not be punished within the month. There is no reason whatsoever. I just do not understand. That would mean that the guy that did it should be dead within the month. I guarantee you, if two things would happen in the country, there wouldn't be much crime. One, kill the criminals. I'm talking about capital criminals. I'm talking about the murderers and the rapists. Kill them. Kill them quickly. Kill them efficiently. Okay? You say those electric chairs are just terrible. Yeah, I'm not for the electric chair. Shoot them. Do like they did in the old days. I mean, stand them up against a wall. And put, you know, give 8 guys, you know, rifles and only load 3 of them. You know, so there's 5 guys shooting blanks, so of the 8, none of them know which one's got killed. I mean, do it simple. You're down what, about 40 cents then? You know, we need more prisons. You know, what for? You know, you're paying guys to get a degree and body build? You're paying $70,000, you know, $45,000 for a guy to get a degree and body build. So the guy finally gets out and he's a monster. He can pull your head off with 2 fingers. Well, that makes me really comfortable. Right? But you do 2 things and you allow the public to be armed. By the way, I mean the public armed in public. I'm all for it. I would not be the least bit hesitant to go into a restaurant knowing there are people in the restaurant armed and me armed. I mean, look, I don't understand. Boy, this drives me nuts. The criminals are armed anyway. I do not understand. How can somebody that knows anything about human nature not know that? But drugs are against the law. They all have dope anyway. But it's against the law. We need to have stricter gun laws, yeah, so that you crack down on people like me, you know, so that I don't have a gun. The criminals are going to have guns anyway. So then the criminal can walk into Wendy's when I'm there and kill me, when if you'd at least given me a gun, I would have had an even odds chance. It's crazy. People are nuts. We had this debate when I was still working a few years ago. And I forget. Anyway, one of the dispatchers up there, he's going, "What do you want? You want shootouts at the OK Corral?" Like, that's going to happen. Like, it doesn't happen already all the time, only they're just killing innocent people. I knew I was going to get a rise out of you. Yeah. I don't have insurance. How does that work? I'm going to commit a crime, go to prison so I can have health insurance. Yeah. All right. Yeah. All right, 4. He beareth not the sword in vain, okay? For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. And again, you have to say that for the most part, it is the evildoers that are punished. Now, there are some evildoers that aren't punished quickly, efficiently, or as much as they ought. And there are folks that that do get it in the neck more than they should. All right? The Thompson brothers are right up at the top down in Texas, right? Okay, there are occasions like that, yes. 5, wherefore, ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, that is, you be subject not only because you're scared of them, you're supposed to be scared of them. It says be scared of them. I mean, it says that you're supposed to be afraid, verse 3 and 4. Wherefore, you must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. Okay, your conscience sake. Okay? Now, verse 6, for this cause pay ye tribute. Now, I've never understood the justifications. I've heard the arguments, and boy, there are some folks that argue. You know, there are a lot of independent churches right now that are going the route and don't, unincorporation and all that, don't pay taxes and all those kind of things. And folks, I don't buy it. First of all, our church has never paid taxes, okay? For the most part, I mean, I pay my own taxes. And we have a tax-exempt status on our property. The only tax we've paid there has been special use or special assessments for the concrete, the gutter, and all that stuff out there. Okay, they've so far have never come in and demanded that I not preach against homosexuality. Okay. Now, individuals, folks, you're sticking your head. You're like a gopher sticking your head up above mean sea level, up above mean sea level, not paying your taxes. Now look, you want to go to jail? You want to go to jail for something that's worthwhile. You don't want to go to jail for being a tax evader. Now what did the Lord command? He said to pay taxes. He said pay tribute. They're under tribute. For this cause pay ye tribute also. For they are God's ministers. Now, you know what that means? That means the IRS is God's minister. This is worse than Clinton. I know that's the case. I know that. But don't look now, but there were sleazeball, sleazebag tax collectors back in Paul's day too. All right? For they are God's ministers attending continually upon this very thing. I have never understood. I understand the direction of the argument and how they get through loopholes and stuff. I understand the ins and outs of it. The bottom line is that the Lord left this thing relatively simple. I mean, you don't need to do a 6-week Bible study to figure this out. I mean, 3 or 4 verses should do fine. Look in Matthew real quick. You know, Matthew 17, it just becomes semantics. People try to draw parallels and so on between things that just aren't so. Look in Matthew chapter 17:27. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, Paul and Peter talking, or Jesus and Peter talking, go thou to the sea, cast an hook, take up the fish that first cometh up, and when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money, that take and give unto them for me and thee. Now, you know what? I wish the Lord would pay my taxes that way. I really do. I really do. But, you know, I don't know how you get out of taxes. With the Lord, Jesus Christ, subjected himself to paying taxes. Look in Matthew 20, 2, Matthew 22. Matthew 22, 21. Well, verse 17, let's start there. Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? Jesus perceived their wickedness. You see what he said? He called it wickedness. Now, right, granted, they're trying to trap him. He perceived their wickedness and said, "Why tempt ye me, and ye hypocrites? Show me the tribute money." They brought him a penny. He said unto them, whose is this image and superscription? They said unto him, Caesar's. Then said he to them, render therefore unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, unto God the things that are God's. So what matters the most? What you're doing for the Lord matters the most. If the Lord if the government takes back every penny you earn, you still have an obligation to pay it and serve the Lord. Okay. Now, the argument goes like this. They're using that money to do ungodly things. Like Nero didn't. Like Caesar didn't. You realize that on the tax payroll, if you were a Roman citizen, that all the religions, and there were many, 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 many religions, Rome was called a sacralist society. That meant that they had multiple gods and that their religion was tied to their government. And so if you had a religion, what you had to do is go through the government, and you know what? If there was enough of you, the government would build you a temple on the back of the taxpayers for your own segment of government. So a guy paying taxes, the Lord Jesus Christ, was putting money into God knows how many polytheistic scenarios of false gods and idols. Yeah, well, I don't want my money going to pornography. Your obligation is to pay the money out of a good conscience, and from there on, it's God's business. I'm sorry. I'd like for you to keep your money. Then you could give me more. You think I wouldn't like to keep more money, but Romans 13:6, for this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's. Is it filthy lucre? Okay, then what do you want to mess with it for? They say give it back, give it back. Attending continually upon this very thing, render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due. That's gas taxes, sales taxes, income taxes, property taxes. You say there are too many tributes. I agree with you. Vote for somebody that'll cut it back as much as possible. Okay? But render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom is due. I'm not really 100% sure what that even means, custom to whom custom. I don't know if it's talking about the customs of the people, or if it's a tribute type thing, customs. You pay customs. But fear to whom fear. So if a guy's due some fear, fear him. The king shows up, fear him. You know, the president of the United States shows up. You may not have voted for him. Stand up. Okay? Right? I mean, I don't know. Fear to whom fear. I mean, when the judge comes into chambers, stand up. You really want to antagonize a judge? A county judge? You really want to antagonize a county judge? Fear to whom fear. Honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything. That verse has been used to say that you should not use credit cards whatsoever, and that you should never go and borrow money because you're supposed to owe no man anything. Okay, that doesn't work. First of all, the only money in the passage is tribute. He's just said, owe no man anything. He just said, fear to whom fears do, honor to whom honors do. That's not money, right? Now, it can be money, but owe no man anything. Folks, you can't get by without owing something. I mean, people say, and this was used before to say that, well, you know, it's a sin to have a mortgage on your house. And by the way, it's a sin for a church to have a mortgage too. All right, now, what's wrong with that, folks, is that whether you like it or not, you know, you can play the game however you like. But so there's a ton of people who, for instance, won't take a mortgage, so they just rent perpetually. Well, guess what you have to do with rent? Who all rents something here? Don't you have to sign a contract? It's not that many landlords that'll give you month to month, right? So you sign a 6-month contract. Okay, I have a 30-year mortgage. You have a 6-month contract. After you pay your first month, do you still owe the guy something? Well, see, that's the thing. Now, here's my take on it. I tell you what I think. Owe no man anything. You pay your bills the first of the month or fifth of the month or whatever it is. Until next month, you don't owe him anything. Okay? Now, you may be under contract for 30 years with your mortgage. You may be under contract for a year with your rent. So what? If you don't pay, you know what they do? They take your house back. If you don't pay, guess what they do? They boot you out on the street and keep your fine china or whatever. Right? So, you know, this owe no man anything, I agree credit card debt will kill you. It's actually, you know, getting deep is stupid. Most people in here know that, okay? But when you say, well, it's a sin to have a Visa card, don't be an idiot. It is not a sin to have a Visa card. Okay? Yeah, whatever. 8. Owe no man anything. There's murmuring. What's the deal? It is. Huh? Yeah, the American Express is of the devil. No. Verse 8. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. So he broke from there. He broke from tribute to tribute, custom to custom, fear to fear, honor to honor. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. And this is strictly the humanistic context of the thing, because notice verse 9, for this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. 5 commandments, right? If there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. What's left out? What's left out is, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Thou shalt not blasphemy. Take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. And then there's one more. Honor thy father and thy mother. Okay, now, so the first 4 are Godward. He names for you the last 5, leaving out honor thy father and thy mother, because what he's trying to impress here is, you know, you love your fellow man, you love your brother in Christ, and so on. It's the human slant on things. Now, you know, like I said, the first 4 are left out. That doesn't mean that it's okay to bow down to graven images, right? He's just making a point regarding your fellow man. And regarding the point that on this hang all the law and the prophets. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. First 4 commandments. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The last 6 commandments. And then everything else surrounding all that. Now, interestingly, the new Bibles leave out, thou shalt not bear false witness. NIV, NASV, so on and so forth. Now, why would you do that? Well, there you go. But they actually leave it out, just so you know. Okay, for this thou shalt not commit adultery. Okay, so that still goes for us. Okay, here's proof that the law is still a guide for us. Right? Thou shalt not commit adultery. And yes, I know that any man that looks on a woman to lust after has committed adultery. I know that. Thou shalt not commit adultery. By the way, these are out of order as well. If you go look and... Exodus 20, the order is switched around a little bit, just for what it's worth. Thou shalt not kill. Now, if you hate your brother, you're a murderer, says 1 John. Okay. But still, you're not supposed to kill. Now, that doesn't mean you can't eat meat. Okay. In my book, it also means that it also does not mean that a Christian can't be in the army and actually wind up at war. Now, there's a big flap going on. With a couple of guys on the internet right now about how, you know, it's wicked for anybody that's a Bible believer you know, because of our Anabaptistic forefathers and all that stuff, to be in the army, that you know, somebody that's in the army has broken all Ten Commandments, actually, is one of the things that one of the fellows said. Okay, the problem is that's just not true. If that's the case, why did the Lord Jesus Christ tell those guys, those soldiers, when they asked him what they should do, be satisfied with your wages? He didn't say, leave the army. Okay? Now, there may be, you know, Brother Krause, Brother Olson can probably tell you plenty of stories and give you a lot of pluses and minuses, okay? But when you get off to the side and say, well, anybody that's in the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marine is of the devil, it's not true. Okay? Thou shalt not kill. You can still eat meat. You can still defend yourself. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. Covetousness is idolatry in Colossians 3. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Now, of course, you know, folks go off, you know, on that and overemphasize certain things, so then love is all that matters. That's not what the Lord said. The Lord didn't say love is all that matters. It says, love worketh no ill. Love is the fulfilling of the law. Insofar as those five commandments he gave you, you love your neighbor, you're not going to kill him. You love your neighbor, you're not going to steal his wife. Huh. Okay, that's what it means. It doesn't mean all that matters is love. That's not what it means. Verse 11, and that, knowing the time. Now that's some interesting phraseology. We've been dealing institute with this a little bit, because there are different, I don't know if you, I didn't get a hold of it here till just a little bit ago, but you realize there's different times in the Bible. It says in the last days, latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving. I haven't found the divisions of the times yet, but in the scriptures there's a distinction made from the last times. In fact, Jesus Christ, the Bible says, was born in the last times, was revealed to us in the last times. Okay? But then there's also the last time, the great tribulation, just before going into the millennium. I'm not going to go into it all this morning, but it's kind of cool. Verse 11, you see, the S's on the end of words, those matter too. You can't just make a plural a singular and a singular a plural. And that knowing the time. So what time is it now? Well, the time right now is nighttime. That's the time right now. Knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. Use of salvation in a different way than we use it sometimes. Say, you know, well, my salvation, I have eternal security. I'm secure in my salvation. Well, yes, you are. You're already saved. But you realize that you're going to receive salvation one day. When the Lord delivers you from this earth and from your mortal body, you will receive salvation that day. So in that regard, salvation is nearer than we believe. Now, Paul's saying this, you know, in 60 AD. And so you're going, well, so here it is, you know, 2006. What does that mean? It means that it's 1,950 years closer to us today than it was then. It also means that there's likelihood that there was a Y in the road somewhere back there, and time got extended for a particular reason. All right, the night is far spent, verse 12. So this is nighttime. The day is at hand. That's why it keeps talking about when the Lord comes back, that's the day of the Lord, the day of the Lord, the day of the Lord. It says that Jesus Christ will arise. He's the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in His wings, not S-O-N either, S-U-N. The Son of Righteousness in Malachi. So when Jesus Christ comes back, that's the daytime. That's the morning. All right? You're in the nighttime right now. The night is far spent, day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. The continuing exhortation to Christians of our day. Put on the armor of light. Put off the works of darkness over and over again. You were delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. Quit doing works that are dark and do the right thing. Verse 13, let us walk honestly. Don't you hate it when Christianity gets down so fine? Don't you hate it when your Christianity demands that you be honest too? I know people that resent that. I mean, I'm serious. Hey, listen, the average guy, listen, we're coming out of Easter week now, you know. Last week was Easter. Everybody should be really holy. You think that made any difference on the average construction site? As far as stealing time, stealing nails, stealing, you know what I mean? You guys work. People steal all the time. People cheat on stuff. People lie on their coworkers. They go, you know, brown nose their boss and lie about something that, you know, somebody did to elevate themselves, right? Your Christianity is supposed to reach down into honesty. You're supposed to be honest whether somebody looks at you or not. You're supposed to be honest when somebody asks you a question. Don't you hate it? Don't you hate it when you ask your kid, did you do that? And he goes, uh-uh. You know that eye shift? You know, when they're little, they have to do this long pause, and you see them think and contemplate and weigh this out, and they go, no. And when they get older, you know, you go, the next step is, did you do that? And they go, no. Like that eye shift thing. Now, what really gets bad is when you get older, you know, when you're, you know, 30, 40. People say, did you do that? You go, no. Like that. No shift. You know, you've got the poker face on you. You know how to gauge the reactions. That's a sad thing, okay? But don't you hate it? You talk to your kids. Did you do that? No. Did you do that? No. You sure you didn't do that? Well, I did. Don't you hate that? I mean, I told my kids, I said, man, there's some things that I just can't handle, and you know, I'm not going to put up with you lying to me. You know, when you lie to me, you know, it's bad. And you know, so far, you know, seems like we've done pretty good, unless they're lying to me now. And but don't you hate it when an adult won't level with you? Have you ever been there? I mean, don't you hate it when you go to the door, somebody's door? Hey, you saved? Yeah. You liar. Hey, you ever been born again? Yeah. You liar. Just level with me. All right, verse 13. Let us walk honestly, as in the day. That's one of the more remarkable things you can study in the Bible is honesty and sincerity. First time it shows up in the New Testament, it's that issue of the seed sown and bringing forth a hundredfold fruit and all that, and it's sown in a good and honest heart. It's the first time in the New Testament honesty shows up. Honesty comes from the heart, okay? Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting, that is wildness, not just, not just L.A. riots, that too, but just wild partying, rioting, and drunkenness, not in chambering. Okay, we're talking about bedchamber here. We're talking about Amnon had his half-sister come into his chamber, okay? Chambering, it's that. That's what you see on movies all the time. Not in chambering. And wantonness. Wantonness is a profound forwardness, brazen. The girls on the I'm talking about faces, the girls' faces, the models' faces on magazines at the Cub Food checkout line. It's wanton. It's brazen. The Christian woman has a meek and quiet spirit, and with shamefacedness. Okay, and the shamefacedness is not being ashamed, but it's having an expression of humility. It's not meeting everybody's eyes that looks at you. It's not that come hither look. It's not wanton. It's not brazen. It's not rebellious. Wantonness. Not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, that ye reminded me. Somebody was, we were at the door the other day with this guy. He said, well, surely we don't need all the ye's and these and thou's in the Bible. I said, yeah, we do. He said, why? I said, because they're more accurate. He goes, really? I said, yeah, really. When I say you, you don't know whether I mean you or you. When the Bible says you or thee, it means you. I mean thou, singular. It says ye, it means, okay? It's more accurate. Don't they complain that the King James is not accurate? What's the deal? Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Any questions? Comments? Paul. I know. Because God loves him. We're supposed to love him too. God forgave you. Can't you forgive him? Not in those words, anyway. I'm not so sure it says that as so much as it's the obvious. It's rather obvious, right? I mean, an eye for an eye. Yes, sir? Right. Right, and that's talking about the Lord, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. The reaping sometimes doesn't come immediately. But that's different. That's sin. That's not open crime. I mean, don't look now, but, you know, Achan didn't spend 6 months in the Hoosgow before they took care of business. You know what I'm saying? The guy picking up six on the Sabbath, and I'm not for killing somebody who picks up stick on the Sabbath now, but, he didn't wait around in prison for a year and a half. All right, we'll take a break.